Welcome to Real Estate Redefined, brought to you by Seaport Real Estate Services, a podcast that is designed to transform the way you think, part of the industry, bringing you insights, strategies, and the latest trends to empower your real estate decisions. Let's get started. We are talking solar, episode 2, types and efficiency of solar panels. Gentlemen, and I use that term loosely, we are exploring the different types of solar panels and their efficiencies. What are your thoughts?
Well, you have two types. You have the monocrystalline and the polycrystalline or polycrystalline. One is obviously a little bit more expensive with the monocrystalline, but higher efficiency. So depending on what you're looking for output, you know, and if you're buying the panels versus leasing them, that's probably going to be your best option to look into companies that offer those.
How come I've never heard of these before? How come I didn't know there are different types?
If you've never gone through the solar process, it's not something that people really know. And even if you did go through the solar process, maybe the person that you worked with or the company, if you're leasing versus buying, never determined which one is better.
But if I'm leasing, I want the higher efficiency, the higher output, right? So I want them to put the most expensive panels on my roof because I want it. As much electricity as I possibly can. So they're not just automatically giving you the best?
Well, I would say that if you had the option to lease and or buy and you were considering both, and the lease option was less money, but it was based off the mono, was it the mono crystalline, the thinner one that's not as efficient, would you question that? Probably not.
No.
No, you'd say it's less money.
That's it. That's right? All I'm doing.
It's less money. So the question is, the vendors that are out there that offer either leasing or buying, and I'm finding out that they're getting separated a little bit more. Like we just install and you're buying them from us. And then there's the leasing companies that tend to lease. And what they do is they set up a separate company that sells. So they do both. But I've found the ones that I've talked to in the last 2 years, we lease. We don't sell them. And there are some that do both, but from a consumer standpoint, the cost is the most important thing. That's why most people, residentially, putting them on their house goes, I'll lease it because it doesn't cost me anything, and I'm still getting the savings, which is the very misleading term when I hear from consumers that come to me. I'm still saving money. Question is really, are you?
Well, how much?
Let me ask you a question. Let's say I've got a really small cape and it's got one part of the roof that I can utilize for solar and it's smaller than most roofs. Which system am I going to go for?
Mono.
Oh, the mono because it's the most efficient.
Yeah. So I get less panels, but they're more efficient. So I'm driving more energy.
The other thing to add to that is the length. So there's studies out there that after 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, the efficiency, and let's hypothetically say they start out at 95%, might go down to 80, 85% after 5 years. So the question is, when you're buying these panels, look at what their efficiency is, not at the day one, but day year five, year 10, year 15, because you'll likely have them on your roof for somewhere between 15 and 25 years. So, you know, let's do the spread. And not that everyone's going to be in their house for 25 years, but, you know, you very well could be.
I never realized that there are two types of panels. And I'm guessing that is evolving and technology is moving pretty darn quickly. Yeah. So what we have today isn't what we're necessarily going to have. All I can think of is the Tesla shingles. I hate the look of solar.
Yeah, first I don't like it either.
I have some clients in real estate that if it has a panel on it and it's that ugly, thick, 1.5-2 inch panel, they won't even look at the property. Mm-hmm. So having maybe a different technology out there where it looks like maybe a 30-year architectural shingle could help with that. Are there advantages, disadvantages from maybe Mike, Dan, who has looked into that? They're probably pretty expensive, I'm guessing.
I mean, the only company that I know that does the roof style and not panels is the Tesla. And I looked into it when I was looking at it for my personal house. And the Tesla system I couldn't do because they don't secure, I have metal roofing. And so they don't secure the clips.
What do you mean?
I have standing seam metal roofing.
Okay.
So I didn't want to puncture holes through my metal roof.
Why not?
Because it has a 50 or 70 year warranty.
And but hold on. It has, when you're using those, the I can picture them right now with a rubber membrane.
The rubber grommets.
Why wouldn't you rely on that? Those are.
I just have a really hard time putting a hole in a perfectly good roof. Just the way I was
raised. What could happen to those rubber?
They break, they crack. Like any seal, any rubber can crack it. So, you know, buying, are you responsible for the maintenance? Leasing, is the company responsible for the maintenance?
Right.
You know, if 5 years from now, panels are twice as efficient as they are now, can you leave the system and just pop off panels and put more efficient panels on? Man. We don't really have a long time period with solar to be able to look at, you know, the true benefits, pros, cons, things like that with it. And those are questions that you want to ask, because if a solar panel is twice as efficient 5 years from now, what's the cost of taking the ones that are on your roof off and putting the newer, more efficient ones on? Obviously, all the other mechanical connections are still there. The framing that they sit on, you know, being tied into your electrical panel in your house and all that type of stuff. But you do, you know, you do have to look at that type of stuff.
That's why when you were looking or put yours on, and I'm looking for my future house potential for that, is the ROI. In other words, where do I break even? So if I put up, let's say hypothetically, $30,000 into a system that gets me to net zero, how many years after I purchase all these inverters, all the panels, the electrical stuff, the electricians, hooking it up, and it's $30,000, how many years based off, let's say it was going to be an average $400 a month electric bill, how many years is it going to take? So it depends on your current operation. And
age.
One of the things I was thinking about this morning was, all right, I don't have my house yet, but I know what we're going to have in it. Two freezers, two refrigerators, a hot tub, pumps for the koi pond, all this stuff that I'm going to have. The regular lights.
Sounds like an Italian household.
Except for Marguerite's gas stove. Got to have a gas stove, cooktop, I should say.
I love it.
Right? So everything's electric. Radiant floor heating, you know, electric with electric heat pumps. So
all things to think about.
Yeah. But the bottom line is when you're looking at that, it's always whether you can do all the efficiencies on the panels and stuff, but at the end of the day, when you take those panels and run the numbers, how many years? Is it going to be 15 years? And like you said, Mike, is the efficiency down 25% and you're better off putting new ones? Now you're paying again. So where are you saving money?
It is without a doubt a math problem that is totally dependent on the user and a lot of different variables. We haven't even got into net present value of the dollar, inflation, technology,
fixed cost.
I mean, we let's tackle that. You guys are adding more value and answering questions that I had no idea about. So I think we're doing what's right for everybody. Let's tackle more in episode 3.
Sounds good.